Okay, today is November the 14th. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Max and Donna Craighead at 1119 West Eskridge Place in Stillwater. And Mrs. Craighead is going to be talking with us today about her experiences in the Dust Bowl. Okay, well, we'll just start with you can state your full name.
Okay, I'm Donna Marie Ring Craighead.
And how do you spell that, your maiden name?
My maiden name is R-I-N-G. The first name is D-O-N-N-A, and the middle name is Marie, M-A-R-E-E.
Okay. And when were you born?
1932, May the 22nd.
Where?
Buffalo, Harper County, Oklahoma.
Oh. And did you live most of your life there, or?
Goodly portion.
Yeah. And where were your mother and father's family from? You can start with your father first or your mother first.
My father was from Harper County also, mm-hmm. a farm close to Selman, yeah. Oklahoma. And my mother was born Adobe Springs, which is another little community adjacent to Buffalo.
Okay. And I guess they lived their whole lives there. Were their parents from Oklahoma also, or did they come in?
My father's parents were from Russia.
Oh, wow.
Immigrated via Kansas, uh-huh. and then did not make the run, but homesteaded in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And my mother's people, they were basically Oklahomans.
Yeah.
Came from southwestern Kansas, but to Oklahoma. And mostly they came for free land.
Yeah.
And the grandparents escaped the Russian army.
Wow, that's a really interesting story in itself.
They were German, from Germany, that went to Russia mm-hmm. to help Catherine, Catherine the Great, train her farmers.
Huh.
And so they spoke German. Basically, they were from most of their life from Russia,
huh.
but ended up in Oklahoma.
Wow. So were they farmers then when they came to Oklahoma?
Yes.
And your parents, were they farmers also?
My people... No, my family were not real farmers. My daddy worked in a bank until the Depression came, and mm-hmm. then he had to take day work, and that's basically about the time I was born, 1932. And then he worked for the Oklahoma State Highway Department. Mm-hmm. He was a large equipment operator.
Oh, okay.
Consequently, we moved a lot in through western Oklahoma mostly. And it was some of the towns I lived in were Winoka, Helena, Cleo Springs, Alva.
You lived all over.
Boise City, and Buffalo was basically the home. That's where we had a house eventually. Although in these other places I lived in a lot of red houses.
Yeah.
And in Boise City I lived in a sod house.
Really? And what was that like? What do you remember about
well,
that?
Well, that sod house... I remember well because even though my daddy went from community to community as the highway progressed, Highway 64, he would always find a place for the family mm-hmm. to rent. And I really remember that sod house really well because it was so much fun, so much unique, very unique.
Yeah.
It had really wide window wells or window sills.
Mm-hmm.
And you could sit in the window. Mm-hmm. And most of the other homes you couldn't.
Yeah.
It was there in Boise City that I experienced the most of the dust storms.
About how old were you when you were living in Boise City?
I wasn't in school yet, so I was born in 32.
Yeah. So
probably
four,
five.
4 or 5, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember the sod house. That's pretty
I remember good. The sod house. And I can remember that my mother was, she had to be courageous to live the life that we lived, but she was not necessarily brave.
Yeah.
I mean, she was frightened easily by the storms. And so the dust storms are very, vivid in my memory.
So what would your mom do when she saw a storm coming?
Well, she would gather us close. There were three children. Mm-hmm. I have a younger sister and a younger brother. My sister is 3 years younger, and my brother is 5 years younger. So I was the oldest. But she would gather us close, and we would have to come inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, that didn't set too well with children.
Yeah.
to be inside.
I guess you resisted, huh?
to be inside. But it was important because the winds were very strong and you couldn't see a long ways. The first sign would be a yellow sky.
Mm-hmm. Really,
when the dust would get in the air between you and the sunshine, mm-hmm. it would just be yellow, like before a big storm. And she would know that was coming. And there were several things that we would do. We'd always bring in the clothes if they were clothes of the line. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the rush would be so great that we wouldn't have time to bring everything in, which meant once the storm hit, there was a lot of noise. For instance, the tubs would blow off the outside of the house because that's where they would be hanging. And they would go, and you'd have to, after the storm, you'd have to find them.
Yeah.
And if you had anything out that like children play with, like spoons or any little equipment, mm-hmm. You couldn't find it because of the dust. Mm-hmm. And I remember so vividly wondering where all my stuff was.
Yeah.
Because it would be covered up. And eventually, of course, it might surface once again, but you couldn't count on that.
So, but sometimes you were able to find your toys and things outside.
Sometimes, yeah. Yes. And the neighbors had chickens. Of course, that was before things were zoned very well.
Yeah.
So rural communities had cattle and chickens. But I can remember the chickens, once they would, the sun would start to be cloudy or obscure, the chickens would go to roost. Like it was dark,
yeah.
Like they expected night. They thought it was evening, mm-hmm. and it would be bright daylight.
Huh.
There are several remembrances that I remember. I can remember the dust being so fine, there was no possible way my mother could keep it out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember her, she would take a table knife and stuff or poke rags in between the window and the windowsill,
mm-hmm.
and try to fill up everything. I guess that would be before caulking. And of course, it was so dry mm-hmm. in those days, caulking would have just fallen out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But she would poke every little hole and then make us get into bed.
Why did she make you go to bed?
Well, because the floor was dusty, and she, I can still remember walking on the linoleum floor with dust on it, and that is not a good feeling.
It's not.
And besides that, it was too hard to keep things clean.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wouldn't want us to get real dirty. And we would go to bed, and she would usually read to us through those times to keep us calm and probably to keep herself calm too.
But do you remember, what kind of, was it like storybooks, or what was she reading to you?
I'm sure that it was Mother Goose type things.
Yeah.
She had been a school teacher so before she married, so we did have the readers in the house that she would have for us, and she read to us a lot. And I can remember, you know, three children in the bed with the mother reading, and sometimes we would eventually drift off to sleep, and that was exactly her plan, of course, while the storm raged outside. But you felt very secure in the bed with your mother, and ordinarily you didn't get to sleep. I was too old to sleep with the mother. Ordinarily, I wouldn't have been in the bed with the mother.
Yeah.
But anyway, she would read to us, and eventually we would go to sleep. And usually, I can remember very distinctly waking up, and I don't know how long it would have been, maybe an hour or two,
mm-hmm.
and you could not see the pattern on the quilt. Regardless, it had sifted in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is makes everything gritty,
mm-hmm.
everything that you touch. Now, if there was washing on the line, of course, it had to come in immediately because it would just have to be done over.
Mm-hmm.
And everything had to be done by hand for the most part. We did not own very much equipment.
Mm-hmm.
No washing machine, no dryer, clothesline. And she would usually wash in a wash tub on the back porch
mm-hmm.
by hand. But anyway, conservation of water was important. None of the houses of the places that I've lived, none of them were modern.
Okay.
They all had an outhouse, but they all had a faucet in the yard. I don't believe, to my best of my remembrance, I don't remember that we had any well water anywhere. My grandparents did, but not we didn't. We always had some kind of a faucet. I was just past that just enough.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a faucet in the yard, and if it was a clear day, and a lot of days in Oklahoma, western Oklahoma, it's clear and sunny, and Mother would put water in the tub and let the sun warm it,
mm-hmm.
and then she and I would carry it in as best we could. I was the oldest, remember, so And then in turn, you took a bath, everybody in the same water. And then she would mop the floor.
Oh, goodness.
It sounds awful today, but that's the way it was.
Yeah.
And we thought nothing of it. And basically, you know, you could go to the hydrant outside and wash your face and hands. So mm-hmm. that wasn't the same as your feet in the same water.
Especially after a dust storm and filled your house with dirt. Oh,
and Mother would work so hard. And I can remember still smelling the old cedar furniture polish that she would use, because oil was just about the only thing that would take that fine dust up. You would not want to put water on it because you just have mud.
Yeah.
It would just be cloudy, you think. So that was good. And we didn't, we didn't have but one pair of shoes, so you took care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we weren't exactly poor. We never did receive assistance. That was one of the, we never did go through the WPA or New Deal, because we didn't have farmland. We were, my daddy was a wage earner and wasn't, like, I expect we would be considered poor, but we didn't know it.
Yeah.
We were clean.
Yeah.
And there was two things. One would be not enough money, but the worst thing would be to be dirty. And it was always a struggle for these women. I think the hair business was really hard. My mother had long hair. And at this point in time, I don't know how she kept the dust out of it, truly. So she must have just gone outside to the faucet, you know, the hydrant, after the storm was over and rinsed it off. But anyway, it was a good time. We did not, most of the places did not have electricity.
Okay.
I remember when the electric line was put in at Buffalo, which was our house. And I found it sounded like it's a great big house, and it wasn't. It was two rooms. Two rooms for five people.
Mm, goodness.
But my grandmother lived across the other side of the block. And usually somebody would always have to stay over there to sleep with her. They had a couch that we made out when my daddy was home. When Dennis Spencer would sleep on the couch, and I go sleep with grandma. And that's when, you know, the games that you learned to play during your childhood, Chinese checkers.
Yeah.
And pickup sticks. I don't know what they call those now, but they probably have some other name. But anyway, where you have all the sticks in line.
Yeah.
I mean, in your hand and you.
We call them pickup sticks. I don't know what they call that.
And she taught me dominoes.
And this is all from your grandmother.
My grandmother, yes. My mother didn't have time to play games in that respect. She would read to us, but she wouldn't play games. She would not. And usually our play area would be outside. And you can well imagine with two rooms. There would be no way that three small children could play, except we'd play house and we'd play outside the house. And I can remember, about to forget to tell you that, I can remember around when you would open the back door after a dust storm, that would just be this finest, finest silt in through the screen and filling up the door. And it was so soft, but my mother would not let us play in that.
But you wanted to.
Yes, we did. Yes, it felt better to your feet than the grit on the linoleum, that was for sure. Our food was, we did not have a garden. We usually did not live any place that provided garden space.
So would you say that the houses, you're moving around a lot, those houses are mostly in more of an urban setting or more of a rural setting?
Oh, in a town, a little town.
Okay. So no room for garden space.
Well, not, but we did, there was no time because Mother would not have the equipment to put in a garden. So usually, in those days, surprisingly enough, people shared a lot, you know, and people would bring, I guess they thought Mrs. Reagan and the three little kids were, but we would have nice things brought to us. And then my mother in turn would bake and return some of the stuff that came to us, some of the favors. And we walked everywhere. We didn't have a car.
Yeah.
So that was one reason why we would not been, Daddy would not have rented a farm. Well, two reasons. He would not be there to take care of it because he would go every day to work somewhere within driving distance. And then we wouldn't have the equipment. And then it would be too far for Mother to, all of us to walk. When we lived in Buffalo then, we thought nothing of it, and we walked a long ways to school. It was through town and clear on the other side.
Yeah.
And church, too. And when the babies were little, of course, we didn't have the Pampers then.
Yeah.
So there was lots of diapers to string on the line. And you look for a sunny day.
Yeah. Well, you being the oldest, what kind of chores did you have to do around the house? Like, what kind of things were your job in the house?
My job basically was take care of my younger brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And then because I was the oldest, my mother very early would write a grocery list, give me money, and let me walk to town by myself and buy the grocery. And I was so small that I could not just hand the clerk my grocery list. Yeah. I'd have to reach way up high. And that time, in those days, the meat was not in the same grocery store like it is now. There was a meat market. There was the place where you bought milk and butter. Mm-hmm. And then there was groceries, like cereal and bread and canned goods, yeah, and that kind of thing. So you'd have to know where everything was. Mm-hmm. And I can remember being so tired. I'd carry things. Mother had sent me to town after eggs. And I can remember... this is a lesson that you never forget. There was the retaining wall along the way, and I just sat down there and just set those eggs right down beside me. And, you know, it just broke nearly everyone, and my mother was just furious when I finally got home. And I was very sorry. I just didn't realize how plus, it could have been that would have been all of her grocery money, mm-hmm, that Daddy had left her for, you know, a week. And she was trying to make do and feed three little children.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, those were good lessons that you never forget. I can remember walking in. Sometimes my mother and I, well, we'd all go to town on Saturday. She would sit, this was in Buffalo, and she would sit in somebody's car and visit with the people. And we had lots of relatives in that town. And she would have given me a dime, and I went to what we called the show or mm-hmm the movie. Mm-hmm. And then we would go to the grocery store, and she would buy, and then I would be expected to help carry things home. And I can remember my arms being so tired. I thought, you know, I'm going to invent something. So I thought I would invent something that went around my neck and went around my hips, a ring, and in the middle was net, so we could just put the groceries in there. And my arms would not be so tired. I would still be strong, and I would still carry my load. But... oh, you know, potatoes, a bag of potatoes are really hard for a little tyke to carry.
Yeah, so how old are you when you had this great idea for the invention?
Well, I don't know, but I wasn't in school yet,
yeah,
so it must have been five,
small.
Probably, 4.5 or 5. And it was, my mother didn't work away from home. Mm-hmm. She'd been a school teacher, but in those days, you wouldn't have considered keeping on. Well, you wouldn't have been allowed to talk after you had married and had a family. And... mm-hmm. Anyway, my daddy was a good worker, and he had a good job, and jobs are very hard to come by. Mm-hmm. My grandparent, my daddy's people were German, and when they would butcher out on the farm, they came to town every Saturday. Now, remember, they were from Russia, spoke German. I did not ever have a conversation with my grandparents.
Really?
But okay. We communicated.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Okay.
And they would bring... on Saturday, they would come, and we would have gone to town. You know, me to the show, mother to visit. Anything to get out of a two-room house with three kids, with three children. And my grandma and grandpa would have been there, and in a dish pan with a tea towel over it. Now, no refrigeration, of course. There would be products from their butchering. There would be... what we considered side meat, which was really the bacon, but it wasn't cured yet. It was just fresh. Well, imagine that. Would have sat out there on the porch all afternoon. And it probably wasn't too much hotter. Of course, they wouldn't butcher until it was cool. So, but we never did get sick.
Probably tougher than that.
Well, I don't know. Or else there wasn't so many bugs around in one. Now, the one thing that I thought was so wonderful that we had there in the little town in Buffalo was an ice plant, which is where they made ice with a big generator. Mm-hmm. They did electrical power, and then they used that. But we didn't have a refrigerator. Of course, nobody did. We didn't even have electricity for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I would pull a little red wagon and with a gunny sack, you know, mm-hmm. over to the ice plant, get a chunk of ice, and pull the wagon home, and that would be for our ice box. Now, I don't know. They may have had delivery, but I don't think that we could have afforded the delivery charge, mm-hmm. and or not on a regular basis. So anytime we were going to make ice cream, mm-hmm. homemade ice cream, then we'd get to go out, get some ice. And I thought that felt so cool. Of course, it wasn't much cool in my life. Yeah. I'm not even sure at that point in time that we even had a fan. Well, we didn't have electricity, so what was use was a fan. But anyway, on very special occasions, my mother loved to make homemade ice cream. And it was considered a very rare delicacy.
Yeah. So what would be something that would call for ice cream? What kind of occasions?
Okay. A birthday, anybody's birthday, or somebody special coming, a relative coming from afar. I had an uncle that lived in Fort Worth, an uncle that lived in California, and then a great aunt that lived in California. And anytime they would be coming, well, then, you know, however many of the family were around, we'd always get together to eat and make something really special. And if there wasn't room, and there certainly wasn't room for company in our house, but we'd usually entertain and just have the table, take the table out in the yard. And I thought that was great fun. I can remember that. It's not fun to put all that stuff back.
It still isn't.
but anyway, we would have fun that way and play house. And there was some things. Our toys consisted of, very early I learned to walk stilts, wooden stilts. And then if in the neighborhood, wherever there was, we could round up a barrel. We thought that was great fun to learn to walk the barrel.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was, lots of advantages to that. We didn't think about TV, of course. Yeah. And I can remember when radio came in and TV both. But we didn't have any of those for a long, long time.
What else do you remember playing, like with neighborhood kids?
Oh, we would play Red Rover, Red Rover.
Yeah.
Send somebody over. And we'd play Crack the Whip, which is really dangerous.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, everybody takes a hold of their hands, and then you start running and turn. And the one that's on the last, my goodness, they would be lifted off their feet and sometimes just crash. Yes, you know, they're outlawed. It's outlawed in school. You don't do that anymore. But anyway, we would play that. We'd play Blind Man's Bluff. Mm-hmm. And we'd play mostly May I. Do you know May I? Mm-hmm. Where you have all the children get in a line, however many there are. There would be one person, the leader. And they'd say, Shelley, you may take 6 baby steps. But if you forgot to say, may I, you had to go back.
Okay.
So it was a manners type thing. We played that a lot. And you'd have to go back to the baseline. And whoever got to the leader got to be the next leader. Well, let's see, it was a little bit slanted because you could always pick out who you wanted to be the next leader to and give them 20 giant steps.
Yeah.
But if they said, may I, they'd forget to say, may I, well, they had to go back. That was always a big kid game. And I'm talking about probably early grade school type age.
What would you say would be your fondest memory of this Dust Bowl time? So you're relatively young.
Yes, I am.
So and at that time, what do you think would be your fondest memory from then?
Fondest?
Yeah, something that you think back and you think, even though this was a depression time, it really made you happy. Now, as a 5-year-old, I can imagine it's going to be a little different than someone we talk to.
That's true.
Older, but...
But it always made me happy that we were a family together.
Yeah.
That was always good, because lots of times my daddy was gone. Mm-hmm. And my mother was not nearly as happy mm-hmm. raising 3 children when daddy was home. Now, he's a German daddy, so that meant that he was really very, very strict. And... Mm-hmm. He was tolerant of going to church, but he was raised Lutheran, and my mother was Baptist. Mm-hmm. So there was not any conflict there because he was rarely home on Sunday. But he did not object to us going to Sunday school. And in later years, he did convert, and he was mm-hmm. baptized a Baptist and remained a Baptist mm-hmm. the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. So, but that was always good to have a home, a family home. And And going to Sunday school was fun too, because you got away.
Yeah.
And one of the things I can remember the most is how much the disease were dreaded. I mean, whooping cough was just about a death knell for a young baby.
Yeah.
If they got that. Of course, there was no shots yet. Mm-hmm. And so you always dreaded that. And one of the things that I do remember fondly, my mother belonged to a young group of matrons. It was called the B-Square Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they would take the children. They wouldn't leave anybody home. And that's where you usually got chicken pox,
yeah,
and measles. And if somebody had the bubs, they would, you know, yeah, they would not bring the sick child, but they would bring somebody that wasn't real sick, mm-hmm, and was having coming down with them, mm-hmm, they would say. And so I can remember getting diseases that way.
Huh.
But it was not a bad time. Like I said, we were probably very, very poor, and I just didn't even realize it. We always had gifts for birthdays and Christmas. Now, it's not to say they were not fancy gifts.
Yeah.
And I realized that there were others that had a lot more than me. But my mother always saw to it that we had as close to what everybody else is. We always had dolls. We always had little play kitchen stuff to play with. And she was good to make little cakes,
yeah,
and things like that. And but then, you know, we made lots of mud pies too. Lots of them. And played their house. And of course, I was the oldest, so I was the boss always.
Yeah.
Which is not real good. And if you'd ask my sibling, they would probably say, I always thought she was the boss. Okay.
Well, we can kind of get through what happened with your life after the Dust Bowl so that we have a good context of who you are.
Okay.
What did you do? Like, where'd you go to high school?
Okay, when the war came in 1941, my daddy quit at the highway department in Oklahoma, so we wouldn't have to move. And we moved to a small bedroom town close to Wichita, mm-hmm, and he went to work in the airplane factory. He was right in the middle. He was too old to be drafted and too young to volunteer. And then he worked at Beech and Boeing. Mm-hmm. And then, so he was deferred.
Okay.
And I can remember being very, very frightened. But we would always go back to Buffalo for holidays because my grandmother lived there and aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. But we moved to Kansas and when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And fourth grade. And this is probably... We bettered ourselves as far as that goes, because there was much money to be made in the airplane, mm-hmm, factory business. But I was so homesick for Buffalo.
Yeah.
I really did like it down there.
What did you miss about it when you got to Kansas?
I missed the kids.
Yeah.
And Kansas did not have girls basketball, which was really a low blow.
Yeah, so you were a basketball player?
Well, I wanted to be, and my major in college was physical education.
Okay.
And I taught physics. But anyway, I did the next best thing. I married a man from Buffalo.
So how did the two of you meet?
Well, I've always known him. Always.
Okay.
We were small children in the same church, even though he was 3 years older. And then as a senior in high school, I went back to visit Grandma and dated then. And then I went off to college, and he went to the Air Force.
Yeah.
So it was a long courtship by telephone and letters and whatnot. But the advantage was I roomed with his sister.
Oh, goodness.
So I got to know the family real well, and I already knew them anyway, and they already knew me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if total strangers.
Where did you go to college?
Oklahoma Baptist University, Shawnee.
Oh, okay. I just wondered when you said that you had gone to school.
Mm-hmm.
Wondered,
and Max had been there 2 years before I got there. And like I said, I went to college, and then he went to the Air Force. Uh-huh. So it was, sometime later than we.
So then when did you get married?
1954.
Okay.
I was out of college, and he was almost out of the Air Force. We married in June, and he got out in September.
Yeah.
And then it's his turn. And he chose to come to Oklahoma State University.
Is that how you guys got to Stillwater then?
I had taught in Puck City, and we lived there, and he commuted to Stillwater 3 years, and then was asked to become extension forester, and so that he did right out of college.
Yeah.
And became extension forester. They don't do that anymore. Yeah. And then we moved to Stillwater.
Okay.
So we've been here ever since.
Yeah. So what year was that when you went to Stillwater?
1958.
Some of the Dust Bowl questions I want to kind of go back and talk about. You talked about the wash tubs on your back porch blowing away. Well, how did you find them again?
Oh, you just went down the street until you found them.
They were just, you know.
And you would find, you know, everybody would be out looking at the farm after the storm. One thing I really remember, this sod house in Boy City, we lived next to a filling station. And that was a big advantage because, and it sounds awful, but one of the best places there was to play was in the restroom. It was cool. It had tile, green tile. And we would play over there. And that was a good memory, but rather than the outhouse. But during one of these storms, the gasoline wagon, which is a wagon that had a big gas tank on it, got away and went rumbling out from the filling station, service station, they would say now, and went rumbling down the street. And my mother was so frightened. And it wasn't until a long time later, I realized that if that gasoline had hit a house, it would just explode. And she was very, very frightened. And I just thought it made a lot of noise. I thought she was frightened of the noise. But she was frightened of the potential, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Probably the noise, too. I'm guessing that was probably pretty loud.
Yeah, pretty loud, because it wasn't on the rubber tires either.
Yeah.
But it was that was a hard thing. What was the other thing you asked?
I don't remember. we were talking about the tubs blowing away.
Oh, yes.
And were any of your tubs ever buried? I mean, I've seen pictures of cars being buried in dust.
Not that I remember, because we would get out very soon. And our cars, I think, if I haven't analyzed correctly, I think it was probably deserted cars that left through several storms. So the dust would pile up. And this is true. The dust would pile up around the fence posts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't go out and knock it down, of course, I guess eventually the cows could just walk over the fence. Now, I've seen the displays in the Smithsonian and in Washington, D.C., you know, the big...
Yeah.
And much of that I can remember, but not anything specific.
Yeah.
But pictures, because we didn't live up in a farm. But, sifting in, if it was just get stifling hot in the house, if it was a summer storm.
Yeah.
And the only air conditioning that we would have would be the window, of course. And, of course, the dust would be coming in so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother would take a wet towel, bath towel, and just tack it up over the window and then catch it down here with either knives or something, so that it could come through the wet and the wind.
Yeah.
And then yet the moist towel would catch the dust.
So trying to keep the window open to keep the house cool.
Trying to have some circulation. But then she'd have to, of course, that towel would just be encrusted. And I can remember that. But it didn't faze me because now it's repulses me to think about breathing all that, but we didn't know any different. And I'm sure a lot of people did have dust pneumonia and a lot of things. About the worst thing that we had go through our family was whooping cough, and that is very, very frightening. But
do you remember there being a big difference between a dust storm in the winter and a dust storm in the summer, except for the heat? Was there any other difference that you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But I would think that most of the dust storms would be in the spring and summer.
Yeah. And one of the women that we talked about teaching school, and it was in the winter during a dust storm. And she's like, there had the dust blowing in, and the wind was cold, and it seemed much worse to her. I just wondered, as a smaller child.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
We were always glad for the snow, though, because it was clean and we could play it.
Yeah.
Not being in school, not being allowed out that much in the world at 4 or 5. I don't remember that much.
Do you recall any time when, like, say, a family of a playmate left, and one of the people that migrated to California or wherever and left?
Well, I don't remember any friends, except I had family that went from, I had a grandmother, and some of her siblings, which would be the great uncles and aunts, left to go to California, and they became sharecroppers or fruit pickers, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother and two uncles went out, but we never did go. Of course, we were just too many of us to go.
Yeah.
And mother never did get to go, but they went out. But my people did not, my immediate family did not stay. They just stayed a while. Had one uncle that was in the CCC camp, mm-hmm. and then eventually he ended up in the Naval Yards in Napa, mm-hmm. California, but didn't know him too well.
Yeah. The others, they came back to Buffalo?
Yes, they did. And they were basically, they had their own profession. My grandmother was a midwife, and she was a, she would she would nurse people in their home, mm-hmm. and then she would cook in the hotel. Dining room. She was a widow and had been widowed when my mother was 11.
Huh.
And she raised five children.
Oh, my goodness.
Alone.
Oh, she's a very strong woman.
Yes, she was. She was. She was very, and then I stayed with her, you know, and I was the oldest, so, oldest child, oldest grandchild. So I got to know my grandmother very well. I feel very, some of the other cousins think that they know her better, but they don't. Because I got to sleep with her, you know, every night.
Huh.
Or just about.
What do you think that, how do you think she has influenced who you are? You spend a lot of time with her. You said that she taught you games.
She taught me games, and she made me feel very special because I was old. Because she would, my household, remember, was crowded with, mm-hmm. And my brother and sister were younger. And if I would get anything that I especially liked, she had a drawer in her dresser that I could have. I was just my things, my keepsake things for the children.
Yeah.
You know, like to say, I think girls more than boys probably, toys that I wouldn't even, I would just play with when I was at her house. It was kind of like our special secret.
Huh.
Although the other children would have the same things, but they would just go by the wayside. Because they were younger, they would just tear them up.
Yeah.
But she made me feel special that way. And she also instilled in me a feel for responsibility. She made me feel like that I was responsible for my brother and sister, and I was responsible to my mother. And but in this situation, Grandma. We called her, mm-hmm. carried just as much weight when it comes to discipline as anybody else.
Huh.
You minded her just the same. Just the same.
Huh.
And she had a piano in her house, and I would practice. She would let me go in by myself, and that was one thing. She trusted me. Even though she would be at work, she'd let me go into her house and practice. And then I took my piano lessons over there.
Huh. Wow.
So, it was just through the block, so it wasn't all that big a deal.
Yeah, but pretty significant.
Yeah. It really was for her to let me do that. And I don't know, I still don't know where my mother found the 50 cents for the lessons. I just don't. But there was a high school boy that would walk from the high school and stop in a certain day and meet me there. And in this day and age, you would not do that either.
No.
But we thought nothing of it. And his name was Knight Brawley, and he turned out to be a medical doctor.
Huh.
And practiced at Woodward.
And he was your piano teacher?
He was my piano teacher.
How long did you take piano lessons?
Several years. We not only took in Buffalo, but we also took piano when we moved to Kansas.
Yeah.
Mother found us a teacher. And my sister turned out to be a much better piano player than I was. My mind was always outdoors.
Yeah.
Playing.
Well, that leads me to the next question I wanted to ask you. How do you think you growing up at a time when there's a depression going on, a time of these dust storms, the way the environment was, how do you think that has affected your view towards nature and the environment?
Well, I think it makes you a little bit more aware that, in my case anyway, that there does have to be some intervention when things are just going wild. People have to be taught how to care for the environment. And our son is a wildlife major.
Really?
And he has a very high regard for the outdoors, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. My husband is a forester. And so, you know, it just seems natural that we do save, recycle. Mm-hmm. But more than just the land, I think living through the Depression makes you a saver.
Yeah.
Now, not just money, but it makes you save string, makes you save tin cans, makes you save aluminum, foil,
yeah,
as we would say. And me and my mother recycle orange juice cans, Crisco cans, TV containers, TV dinner containers. Mm-hmm. It makes you aware that there's always going to be some use put to everything.
Yeah.
And it makes you, I think it gives a sensitivity. Plus the fact, my generation is not, and I repeat, not a throwaway society.
Yeah.
Your generation, that's all you know. And I have two children the same way. But you've fixed it and made do. And I think that's what the Depression does for people. You can just always, nearly always spot them when they want to, you know, do things the easy way, not necessarily easy, but the most economical way,
yeah.
and not be extravagant, and not be foolhardy about things. And besides that, because the bank's closed, it also makes you remembering what a big thing that was in the lives of your parents and all. It makes you a little more wary of organized government.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for FDIC.
Yeah.
In the banks. You know, so, you know, you can save and not worry about
right.
it. But I think a lot, many in my family lost money when the banks closed. Mm-hmm. And they always thought they were going to get it back, and they never did it.
Do you remember your parents talking about politics anyway? How do they feel about FDR and the New Deal?
I do not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some people's parents are so adamant about it. Even if you're five, you still.
That's true. There have been big arguments and whatnot.
Right.
But I don't remember that kind of thing ever coming up. We didn't have a radio, remember. We didn't take a newspaper.
Right.
And my daddy was gone a great deal. And I'm sure that they had their opinions, and I'm sure they voted, but I'm not positive about that either.
Harder. Your mother probably had more interest in her home and what
she
had
to
do
make,
every day.
Yeah. Just trying to make ends meet and keep things clean and children fed. Mm-hmm. But they learned how to stretch a dollar. And I think they passed that on to us.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't have to have the very, very best. Some things you can have is just as good.
Yeah.
Now, our own daughter, and you met. Maybe your mother did this too, but do you remember hang ten stuff? Our Melanie was just so, this shows my mindset more than hers, but she wanted, had so much, everything she wanted, socks, everything, hang ten. Well, I went down when we had Bonnie's and stuff, or you don't even know Bonnie's, but it was a fine ladies ready to wear downtown. They had pink shopping bags. I mean, so I bought, at Melanie, I bought her, she was junior high, and I bought her a skirt at the Dollar General store.
Mm-hmm.
We had one weaving way back then.
Yeah.
And it had a little bit of a flaw on it, but anyway, I took all the tags off, folded it, put it in a Bonnie sack, and put it on her bed.
Yeah.
And she came home, and she was just so, so, thought it was so wonderful. I said, now, Melanie, that skirt has a little bit of a flaw, but I think I can fix it. Oh, no, Mother, it's fine. Just leave it. It's perfectly all right. So she tried it on, and it just was so wonderful. I said, well, how do you feel? She said, I feel so great. I said, well, do you feel like that you're just as good as anybody else? Oh, yes, I feel just really right up there, you know. And she named people that she was always mm-hmm. wanting to live up to mm-hmm. in her class. And eventually I did tell her that it came from Dollar General store. I said, but now, how do you feel now?
Yeah.
Just fine. I said, how do you like, what's your attitude to that skirt? Will you ever wear it? Well, yes.
Yeah.
I said, well, are you the same person on the inside? Yes.
Yeah.
And no, to this day, you cannot get her a name brand anything. she doesn't, about her best she will do will be a Oshkosh outfit for her little girl from the Goodwill.
Yeah.
And they can afford to do it. They can do anything they want.
How many children do you guys have?
We have two. Our Melanie is married, has one little girl. And then Todd is 6 years younger, and he's 31, and Melanie is 37, 38, coming up. And remarkably enough, they both went through college, and they're both doing exactly what they studied to do.
Yeah, that is amazing now.
really an interesting thing. Todd works for the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation in Oklahoma City. You can view him on Outdoor Oklahoma TV.
I've seen him on there.
Voice report. He will do that more often than on person. And he writes for Outdoor Oklahoma. And he's not married at this point in time, but I think he'll be married soon.
Yeah.
And then Melanie is older, and she studied piano at OBU and voice. And she taught school in Lake Highlands in Richardson, Texas. And then had Zoe after 13 years of marriage, and she stays home and teaches piano and voice at home.
Wow.
And her husband is working on his doctorate.
Yeah.
And has two jobs, one at a church and one at a university.
Oh, so goodness. Busy.
They're very busy, busy people. Day. Yeah. Okay. Where are
we? I've covered all the questions on here that we need to, except for maybe just a general statement. How do you feel about the Dust Bowl era?
I hope that it never returns.
Yeah.
I don't think that it would be good. I think that we're smarter now. I think that we would, I don't think the present generation, I don't think they could, I don't think they would manage like we did.
Mm-hmm.
They would demand more intervention sooner. But I'm not sorry I lived through it. I don't have any bad feeling about it. In fact, I'm proud that my people survived it. And I'm glad that I probably will not ever have to face that own type of thing in my own lifetime with my own children. Or I haven't, anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe we would have the same approach as a nuclear war or something. That would be equivalent in this mindset to what it was then, because you just did what you had to do. And I still think that applies this day and age. Just do what you have to do. I probably didn't say enough about Max.
Yeah, what do you want to tell us about Max?
Well, Max, and luckily, he was from Buffalo, and so we basically had the same value system, and he was a Baptist already, so we had that in common, and we have not. We knew from the very start, probably, we would never have a real elaborate lifestyle, because that would not be our way.
It's not you.
No. But we like nice things, and mostly we like our children, and we did put both children through college so that when they walked across the stage, they did not have any debts.
Yeah.
And we thought that was important. And I thought for my education, I substitute taught 19 years in the public school, Stillwater.
Oh, really?
To help them go through college.
Oh, goodness.
And my mother was in college at the same time I was, and then she taught school and helped put me through, or the three of my brother and sister. We all graduated OBU. But anyway, she helped me, I helped my children. I think in turn, they can help theirs.
Yeah.
So.
Do you happen to know Enid Pritchard?
Sure.
Yeah, we interviewed her. She was our very first participant.
Oh, good.
In the Washington
She's a
project.
Sweet lady.
Yeah, she's really nice.
She's a sweet
lady. When you said you
worked school.
In the Stillwater, yeah, because she told us that too. So.
Uh-huh. And she would have a little bit different perspective.
Yeah, she's a little older.
But she's a nice lady.
She was very nice and very kind to talk with us about this project.
Well, did we cover everything that you wanted to cover?
We covered everything we needed to. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, but I do feel privileged that you would call and ask.
Well, thanks for participating.
And now I need to know what is this going to be used for?
Okay, why we're doing the project is for the Women's Archives at Special Collections, and so that we will have this collection, an ongoing collection of reminiscences from women from Oklahoma. And we wanted to focus our original project goal on the Dust Bowl things. What will happen next is We will take this tape and it will be typed up into a transcript, which will be sent to you. Okay. And you will get to proof it and make sure, you know, everything in there is right. And then if it is, then it can go into our collection with your permission.
Oh, sure.
So, but, and you will get a copy of it for yourself to keep,
oh,
too.
Okay.
A final draft copy.
Okay. We just heard Carney's report on the women in entertaining.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just the other night at the Emeritus.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I didn't get to hear it, so.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
You won't remember nearly as much as we did. But a lot of them I didn't remember, but a lot of the singers I did.